And he says, you must be just insane. You just sold a singing frog for $300. It must have been worth millions. You've got to be crazy. And the guy says, not really. The hamster is also a ventriloquist. So there you go. Now you know the rest of the story. Okay, so we have been looking at our identity. Who are you and who we are in Christ? And so just real quickly, the first week we talked about that we are sons of God. We are all, the Bible says, sons of God. It's not talking about gender, men or women. It's we are all sons of God. It's talking about our placement, our rights and position in Jesus. And last week, we talked about our royal status. We are kings. And this means, for one, that we are rich. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We're blessed. And you need to tell yourself tonight, I'm blessed. We are. We're blessed. And God helps us. He will help us financially. But we are also blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Then we talked about being a king, that we have authority. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We discussed authority and what that means, and I'm not going to read all this, but it means that we have the right to exert the power and the authority that of God. And so we have authority tonight. We have through Christ authority. We're not meant to live our lives dominated by Satan, sin, or sickness. And we need to know that. We need to remind ourselves of that every day. Well, I'm not going to live my life dominated by sin, by Satan, or by sickness. I'm going to believe God and exert the authority that He's given me through Christ, right? We need to be able to see the bigger picture instead of just focusing on whatever difficulty is before us. And I know when I say that, this is easier said than done, because when we're going through something, especially very difficult things in our life, it's hard not to just see that looming right in front of us. But we have got to learn that whatever negative circumstances that we face, we just trust God, we believe God, that He will either deliver us from it or take us through it. That's dominion and authority in action. So a couple other verses very briefly before we move along. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. These are more than just words. They are truth. They're the truth. They're the truth about you and me, right? Now tell yourself that's the truth. So we're going to look at another aspect of who we are, and the Bible tells us we are priests. You men never have thought of yourself as being a priest, and when we were talking about priest, it's like kind of like kings. You may not have ever thought of yourself as being a king, but the Bible says that we are kings and priests. Revelation 1, 5, and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and over all the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. God picked us tonight. You're chosen. We are chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad? Royal priesthood. So we talked about kings last week. Tonight, we're going to talk about us being priests. And that doesn't mean that we are some kind of spiritual elite or holier than thou or them. We wear different clothes than everybody else to point out how different we are. If we are true spiritual priests, then it doesn't mean superiority over others. What it means is we're servants, right? Just say yes. Thank you. Christian maturity means that we grow and that we are not the center of our own focus. Our priesthood means we are learning to widen our focus on God and others. And so being priest involves our service in these two major areas, to God and to others. Tonight we're going to talk about our service to God. We are servants of God. Why? That's part of our priesthood. And listen, as servants to God and of God, we have a great responsibility and privilege. So I want you to home in with me tonight. We are called to serve him with worship and praise. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, this is Jesus speaking. He says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of God, or true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship and praise are a major part of our service to God. You know, this next verse didn't make it in, but it's in your notes. Psalm 150, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 6 says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, there's a theme in these verses. I don't know if you picked up on it. But it says at that verse 6, let everything that has breath. Now, I want you to tell yourself, I have breath, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Now, this is our responsibility, but something more, and it should be something more. It should become a pleasure. Now, I want you to listen kind of with he that has an ear to hear, let him hear tonight. And I know that a lot of us have been believers for a good period of time, but this is a truth we need to hear again. Or if it's the first time, then good. You'll hear it for the first time. Worship has to do with our feelings and expressing our feelings about God. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Our worship is letting God know how happy we are with him. Did you catch that? We need to let them know how happy we are with them. There are people right now all over the world, there are people that are letting God know how unhappy they are with him. And they're cursing him. Some are just complaining. As believers, sometimes we are guilty of letting God know how unhappy we are with him. Now, I know some of you may be here or viewing online, you're thinking, I would never tell God that I'm unhappy with them. But sometimes we do when we're complaining. That's what we're doing. We're letting God know, kind of in a different way, we're really not happy with them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 through 11. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Somebody say, yikes. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, our training, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This, the word complain literally means to grumble. Grumble. I'm not going to ask tonight how many of us have ever grumbled, caught ourselves grumbling. Well, I don't know. It's just my life. I don't know about my life. I don't know why it seems like everybody else gets blessed but me. Here they are. He gets blessed. She gets blessed. That guy gets blessed. But look at me. And we can sometimes be guilty of grumbling. Now, I realize sometimes our complaining can be fairly innocent, and we can sometimes we complain kind of as a joke, but if we're not careful, it can become a habit. After all God had done for Israel, they still grumbled. Now this is staggering. You think about them. God had brought them. Most of you know the story. God had brought them out of Egypt. They'd been slaves for 430 years. They got brought out of Egypt, came into the promised land, and they still grumbled. He had brought them out with, the Bible says, a high hand. They came out with the riches, the spoils of Egypt, and God gave them water out of a rock. Angels' food fell. They ate angels' food. There was a pillar of a cloud by day, shade by day, pillar of fire, keep them warm at night. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still grumbled. Staggering. Until we consider sometimes us. After all that God has done for us, and I'm not trying to throw guilt, and I understand that there are those here that you've been going through some very difficult things, and so I'm not saying this to throw condemnation. God, help us in the midst of our grief or struggles or wrestling with things in life. God, help us not to feel condemned, but also it's just a check for us not to grumble, because we're meant to be different from the world. We're becoming a culture of complainers. Did you know that? People just gripe about everything, and so gripe about the government. I know about the economy, or about just society in general. Everybody's crazy. You know, that kind of thing. We're complainers. Listen, being priest of God means cultivating a lifestyle of thankfulness and gratitude for and to Him. And we're here. One of the great reasons we are here is to let God know how happy we are with Him. And this really does show Christian maturity. As we are just not thinking about what God can give us, but what we can give Him. In my devotions, a lot of the time that I spend praying is I try to focus on Him and just thank Him for who He is to me. And it's letting Him know how happy I am with Him. A lot of people let God know that they love Him, but we really ought to let Him know by our words and by our actions that we like Him. Anybody that's married here tonight, your spouse, if you've been married for any length of time, well, from the day that you get married, it's important to let our spouses know in words and in actions that we're happy with them. Occasionally, often, right? That we like them. We ought to. Well, let them know I like you. I love you. Cindy and I, in the morning and at night before we go to bed, we tell each other we love each other, but we let each other know through the day in various ways that we like each other. That's a miracle. She actually likes me. I mean, it's great. I'm not a horrible person. I'm all right. But I mean, it's nice that she lets me know that she likes me. I'm her favorite preacher. She'll tell you. Thank God. So anyway, we need to let our spouses know that we like them. It's even more important to learn to let God know the same thing, that we like Him. And this is what praise and worship does. Part of it is letting God know how we feel about Him. In Psalm 22, verse 23, listen to this. It says, "Ye that fear the Lord," and this is talking about a reverential fear. It's not talking about dread, but an awe of God. "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify Him and fear Him," the awe of God, "all ye seed of Israel." The word glorified that's used here means to make heavy, that we feel the weightiness of God, or we let God know, "God, you are heavy." Remember those days? Doug does. Man, that heavy, heavy, you know. "God, you're heavy." Yeah. Psalm 16 and verse 5 says, "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot." Praise is letting God know how much we value Him, that He is our inheritance. He's our treasure. As I told God once, "As long as I have you, I'll be all right." And it was at a time that was rough. But as long as we know that He is our treasure, He's our inheritance, you'll be all right. If you're struggling with things tonight, listen. As long as you've got God, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He never forgets about you or what you need or who you are to Him. And so He's our treasure, our inheritance. Now, for some reason, these next verses didn't make it into my PowerPoint, but you've got them in your notes. Yes, thank you. In Psalm 44, verse 8, it says, "In God we boast all day long." Yes. Isn't that good? "And praise your name forever, Selah." Selah, we talked about this last week. It means pause. Think about it. Think about it. "In God we boast all the day long." Those of us who are parents or grandparents, we brag about our kids or grandkids. Parents, you've seen the bumper stickers. My kid is an honor student at such and such a school. Or the other one, "My kid is able to beat up your honor student." You know, I know. You've probably seen that one too. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? But we brag about our kids or our grandkids. We ought to learn, and we should be bragging about how good God is to us. We can brag about his name. The name of Jesus is above every name that's named. Jesus, your name is over my life, my family, my future. Jesus, you're doing a good job taking care of me, right? Psalm 69 verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This word magnify, we know what it means. It means to make bigger. And so we magnify him when we let him know how big we think he is to us. God, I thank you and praise you. You're big enough to handle everything that comes up in my life. You're a big God. And something happens when we magnify God. It doesn't change how big he is. God doesn't ever get bigger or smaller. He is God. He exists in himself. He exists. He has always existed. He never, somebody said, where did God come from? He came from himself. He's always been. Never did come from anywhere. He's always been. He's God. He never gets bigger, never gets smaller, but to us, in our minds, he can. And so what happens when we begin to magnify him, we make him bigger, we our awareness of how big he is magnified over our problems. Yes. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All of this, rejoicing always, giving thanks in all things. These are choices that we make. And when problems are distracting us or they're trying to force, and I understand again, when we have something looming in front of us, it almost is like our attention is forced on it. We have a decision to make, and that is to focus on him, even in the midst of the difficulty, focus on him with gratitude. And I don't have this in our notes, but this is really what the Bible in Hebrews is talking about, the offering up the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it's something that comes out of our faith. God, I, in the midst of what's happening right now, I don't understand it. My heart feels broken. But in the midst of this, I thank you that you always are. You always will be. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're with me. You're always with me. As long as I have you, I'll be okay. We let them know. Praise and worship is one of the secrets to being happy. The Westminster Confession includes the statement, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we need to learn this, how to enjoy God. This is a foreign concept to some people. Some people fear him. Some people respect him. A lot of people say they love him, but sometimes we could miss the part of enjoying him. So I mentioned in my devotion time, I spend time and I tell God with words that I like him, that I enjoy him. And I am learning that as I focus on him and who he is to me, I enjoy him a lot more. And there's a kickback for me when I enjoy God. I become more confident and secure. I'm happier. I enjoy life a whole lot more as I enjoy God. A lot of people have the wrong idea about why God wants us to praise him. Some think that he wants praise because he's almighty, he's powerful, and therefore worthy. He is worthy tonight, right? Amen. But his desire for our praise really isn't, and I don't know, I may have left this in your notes, I say isn't entirely for his own benefit. God, that's kind of a wrong image. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. That's bizarre, you know. He wants us. God actually enjoys us, which is even a bigger mind blower. God enjoys me. I'm glad that Cindy likes me. I'm really glad God likes me. Aren't you? Not that he likes me. Aren't you glad that he likes you? So our God's desire for our praise is really for our benefit. His motivation, God's motivation for requiring something from us is always for our benefit. I'm going to repeat that again. God's motivation for requiring something from us is always for our benefit. You know why he wants us to be a giver? And giving, tithes, offerings, or being generous to people. It's not because God is broke and all that. It's because he wants us to learn the value of giving and the promise of receiving. Righteous living isn't a requirement from God to make us miserable or to hold back on us, you know, or from us. You know, I've mentioned that before I got saved, I just couldn't see myself living the Christian life because I didn't think it was possible to enjoy life or to have any kind of enjoyment without getting drunk or getting high and other things, you know. Now, that's a sad state of affairs, but that's the way my mind worked back in those days. It was a real revelation when I found out, and after I got saved, that I didn't have to get drunk or high anymore, that I didn't want to get drunk or high anymore. God replaced that with himself. And so you may be wrestling or struggling with something like that. I'm telling you tonight, as we learn to enjoy him more, he will take the place of all that kind of junk. And he doesn't ask us to be and to be live a righteous life to hold out on us, but to protect us and to enable us to enjoy life, right? Okay, so praise is our service to God, and we're the ones who get the benefit from it. It's one of the greatest secrets to being happy. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." I've got this in bold type and italicized to emphasize this, what he's saying. There are several important things. We're told, serve the Lord with gladness, and then he tells us how. How do we serve the Lord with gladness? Come before his presence with singing. As we sing, there's something, as we praise, as we worship, something happens powerfully in the spiritual realm. Isaiah 35, verse 10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Amen. Now, I don't believe it's any coincidence that Isaiah 35, 10 first speaks of singing, and then they shall obtain. Listen, as they sing, they shall obtain or receive joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Joy and gladness follow our singing. As priests serving the Lord with praise, we're the ones who benefit from it. One of the greatest benefits we receive is in our emotions. We talked about how worship is letting God know how we feel about him, and when we do, we can't help but feel better. This is one of the most important truths for anyone who battles with sadness or depression to understand, and that is that praise leads us. helps us obtain joy and gladness. And Isaiah 35:10 again says, sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Right.
See, the Bible talks about submitting to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Sorrow and sighing is a spiritual assault. And when we begin to worship and praise in the midst of our life, sing in the midst of stuff, sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
That's right.
We've all had sighing days, right?
Yeah.
Those days where it's just like, you know, and we may not sigh outwardly, but inside our soul is sighing. It's crucial to hear this tonight. Our praise is our service to God and ourselves. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. When we are sad, when we are sighing or feel heavy, we need to remember who we are, our identity. We're a priest. And as priest, we have a service that we render to God that benefits us.
Amen.
Worship, praise, thanksgiving, singing will cause sorrow and sighing to flee away.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, the priest wore these special priestly garments. Our garment in the New Testament is referred to in Isaiah 61 verse 3. Praise is a priestly garment that smothers the spirit of heaviness. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm telling you this again, it's one of the most difficult things to do when we are sighing, when we are depressed, when we are pressured, is to go ahead and let that faith rise up inside us and begin to thank God and worship and praise. That praise becomes a garment that we wrap ourselves up, and it'll smother that spirit of heaviness. If you're viewing online, I haven't forgotten to put these verses up on the screen. They just somehow didn't make it into my PowerPoint. I must have messed up when I prepared it. But anyway, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 20 says, he seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. That is a really excellent verse. It's talking about a kind of divine distraction, and it says God keeps us occupied with gladness of heart. You know, I read that and I think, you know what, that's the kind of occupation I want. That's the job I want. I don't want my heart to be overly occupied with worry and doubt and fear and frustration. We all get tired of that. Our hearts occupied with negative junk, right? What's gonna happen within the economy? Or are we going to have enough to live on in the future? Is the election going to make any difference? Is my vote going to even count? And let me just say this. I believe that every believer in Jesus Christ, I don't believe that it's my place to tell you how to vote, but I believe we ought to vote. I believe we ought to vote our Christian beliefs, and that will tell you something. What we do is we praise God that in spite of what's going on in our nation and our government, all that, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. And so God wants us to be occupied with gladness of heart.
Yes.
Seldom reflects on the days of his life. In other words, we're not overly occupied with just thinking about the cares of this life, all that's going on in our lives, But we are occupied with gladness of heart. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. We are kings and priests to God. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 again says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let me pause for a moment there. It says he loved us and washed us. It doesn't say he washed us and therefore he loved us. The placement is crucial. He loved us, and because he loved us, he washed us. He doesn't love us because we're washed. He loved us first, and then he washed us from our sins in his own blood. He doesn't love us because of how good we are or how good we can become. He loves us because he just decided to love us. Loves us, likes us, loves you, likes you. Tell yourself, he loves me and he likes me. Loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so, last week we talked about it's kings. We have authority to choose the kind of thoughts and feelings that will dominate our lives. As priests, our service to God in praise and worship provides a platform for our minds and hearts to be occupied with gladness. A couple of verses and then we'll close with prayer. Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12. Now listen to this. This is so good. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Let me pause for a moment there. I have been there are just a handful of times in my Christian life where I have been I've been a believer now for almost 50 years, 49 years and counting. That's a while. And in that 49 years, there's a handful of times where circumstances and events that happened in my life devastated me, where I wondered if I would ever be happy again. I was going to serve God. I was determined to, but I wondered if I would ever really be happy again. But let me tell you something about God. He is so good. Amen. About turning mourning into dancing. All that. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. He's good God. He has made us to become kings and priests. It's part of our identity. If you don't have the notes from the previous two classes, they are out on the table. I'd encourage you to pick them up on your way out. Go through them. And don't just toss this lesson, especially on your way out the door. That's really hurts. No, don't. But hang on to it. Let me encourage you. Go through it again. Go through. There's a lot of material that we cover in this class, and I encourage you to go back through it again. Let the Word of God get inside. Don't let the cares of this life choke out that Word. Let God's Word, we need to let it get in our hearts, make its home in us, and help us be glad. Can you say amen? Okay, let's bow our heads. We're going to close with a prayer and confession. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. If you just pray this with me. Thank you, Jesus, for making me a king and priest. I will serve you in praise, worship, and with thanksgiving. As I praise you, you will keep me occupied with gladness in my heart. Thank you for that. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, would you just take a moment and just give the Lord a clap offering and thank him? voice it. Lord, we do thank you. Jesus, thank you. Who you are to us, and what you have caused us to become. We thank you. We do praise you. We are not neglectful of what you've done for us. Thank you for it, Jesus. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for turning and defeating that mourning and turning that mourning into dancing, our heartache into gladness. God, right now as we close, I pray just that garment over us, that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I rebuke that spiritual assault of sighing, that sighing would flee before the name of Jesus. God, that we would have an understanding tonight. Grant, Holy Spirit, help us tonight to leave with a sense of gladness just because of who you are to us. Make it so. Thank you for it, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Next week we'll continue on and believe God to give us understanding who we are. Bless you.